Chris is drinking the blue Kool-Aid. We're lifelong Lions fans. Bob!
All right, let's go, Lions fans. The Jared Goff era has begun.
Connor!
Hey, let's bite some kneecaps. Detroit versus everybody, baby.
UJ!
A new era in Detroit has begun, people. So get on the train or get left behind.
Rud Dog.
This is going to be an unprecedented era of Detroit Lions respect.
And I'm Big Z. It's a new era of Detroit Lions football. It's going to be one hell of a season. We'll be drinking the blue Kool-Aid with Dan Campbell all year long. Predictions, thoughts, reactions, everything we got to hear. Sit back, relax, and grab your Kool-Aid, fans. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back, recording on the night of November 17th, and we'll be talking about the Lions' upcoming game, where they are traveling to Cleveland as 11-point underdogs. That's right, Cleveland. 5-5, Cleveland. We'll get into all that, but before I do, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. So we got Rundog.
Yo.
And UJ.
Hey, Lions faithful.
And I am, of course, Big Z. So let's just break down this game just a little bit before we get into it. So just a couple things to note. First of all, the Lions have signed a new kicker, Riley Patterson. He was on the Vikings and Patriots practice squad. So he has never kicked an NFL kick. But honestly, as we all know, it couldn't be any worse than what we saw last week out of the Steelers game.
True that.
I think we don't mind the signing. Now, I hope they did their homework or the scouting or whatever. And hopefully he can come through at least and, you know, at least miss it wide right or left, but not just 10 yards short and to the right on, you know, a 48-yard field goal try. We want at least, you know, some hope when the ball comes off his foot.
Yeah, a little chance.
Even just for a moment.
As good as yours is any to throw shit at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah. So some of the other news, and I think the biggest news we found out today is that Kelly Stafford threw a soft pretzel at a 49ers fan. Oh, no, sorry, wrong story.
Never realized the violent streak she had. I never realized that. Maybe that's has something to
it's
do with
it. About damn time.
Right.
About damn time. No, the real news is Jared Goff, with his oblique injury, did not practice today. Reports say he's about 50-50. Chance of playing on Sunday, and Tim Boyle has been taking first team snaps. Now he's on the IR, but they can activate him whenever they want. Tim Boyle has a 50-50 shot at being the starter on Sunday, which I don't think a lot of Lions fans would hate to see necessarily. I mean, what do we think? Does Lions offense change significantly with Tim Boyle in there?
No.
I think it could. The vertical game certainly.
Well, maybe,
could.
But I think they're still going to rely on the run heavily. They're not going to put it in his arms, you know, or in his arm, I should say. They're definitely going to rely on the run game.
Design some more vertical routes with him, though, feeling confident he could push it deep. You know, he's got a bigger arm than Goff, right?
So yeah. Well, I'll tell you, wouldn't hurt to see him in there, though. This oblique could be the excuse we needed. Oblique is a tough injury, though. It's a nagging little thing. It's a small little muscle, but it's really nagging. It's hard.
He can throw the ball. It's just they said he can throw the ball like decently, but he can't put like the zip on it that he needs. And
what's
knowing Jared and having watching Jared Goff, yeah,
zip.
He needs all the zip he can possibly get it's a little rough.
Hey, all I'm saying is be careful what you wish for, because you know one thing Goff didn't do last week was turn the ball over.
This is true.
You know, you get Boyle in there. Who knows?
We didn't turn the ball over because we handed it off 40 times.
Oh, what?
Well, still. No, I mean, no. Something's got to be said for that.
Be careful what you wish for. I wish for 20 points or more in a game. So I don't think I have to be too careful about what I wish for.
All I'm saying is Boyle might come in and throw the ball to the other team a bunch.
You know,
of
if he throws it in the end zone a couple times, too, I wouldn't mind it. So,
well, there's no guarantee you get that with the bat. So we'll see. I want to see it. I like the way it's happening and that they're not, like, benching Goff, that this might just kind of happen naturally so it doesn't have to become some sort of drama.
Yeah, right. Or maybe he's, quote-unquote, got an oblique injury. Or they just told him, hey, Jared, like, you got a bruise on your abdomen, right? You can show the press, you know, you're hurt. So,
Or
McDermott,
right?
Or, Dan Campbell, maybe just gave him a sock in the stomach just for the bruise or something like that.
Does it hurt right here? right there? Or is it over here?
On a punch where it doesn't leave bruises, so you can.
Right, exactly. But I do love this matchup. I do love this matchup of Decker and Sewell going against Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney, who are one of the top pass rushing duos in the NFL this year. Yep. Myles Garrett, a lot of people think is on pace to be the defensive player of the year this year. So,
wow.
It's a good defense. And it'll be a good matchup, especially for our Lions front seven on the offensive line, also the defensive line, because the Browns have the highest paid offensive line in the NFL and one of the highest graded. So they are very good at what they do up front in the run game. Kevin Stefanski, coming from like the Gary Kubiak zone running scheme that they've done for years successfully. And I don't know if Nick Chubb will be back for this game or not. He was on the COVID list last week, so. Undetermined there. I think he's probably not going to be back. And Kareem Hunt's out, so they have De'Ernest Johnson at running back. And then, of course, Baker Mayfield. But we'll talk about Baker Mayfield in a moment with our guests entering the Lions' den. But is there anything else you guys wanted to note about this game?
No, I'm curious to see who calls the plays again. If Campbell gives any of it back to Lynn or if he just keeps on going like he's doing. I'm kind of curious about that. And I also like to see what kind of adjustments they do. Obviously, Pittsburgh adjusted to our run scheme in the fourth quarter last week. And I wonder if Campbell will be ready with some other adjustments of his own if they start figuring this out and has a few more wrinkles, you know. Kind of curious about that.
Yeah, on the same note, if they try to do that same pressure on the way to the run, you know, playing the run on the way to the pass like they were doing last week, if Cleveland tries to do that too, if we have an answer for it.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll get more about Cleveland here. So we have a guest, and we'll get into all that in a moment. So let's now go head over to the Lion's Den.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ready.
All right, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers. This week, the Lions are traveling to Cleveland, as we mentioned before. And that means it is time for the Lion's Den and entering the Lion's Den is a familiar face to all of us, at least. UJ's son-in-law, Rud Dog's brother-in-law. We got Joe, a Cleveland Browns fan. I know. They are out there. They do exist.
Enlighten
us. Don't
know
why.
Yeah, they do.
But maybe Joe can explain. So, Joe, first of all, thank you for braving the Lion's Den.
No, anytime.
So we'd like to start off first asking those who dare to enter, why the hell are you a Cleveland Browns fan? Please explain, because we don't understand.
Born and raised. I know you guys don't know anything about
that.
So
you think that makes you better than us?
When you're from...
Did you try to get your parents to give you up for adoption when you were younger?
I was hoping they were going to send me to Detroit so I could be a Lions fan.
Ooh.
Now, born, raised Cleveland, therefore, when you're from Cleveland, you are a Browns fan. It's ingrained in you. Doesn't matter how good or bad they are, you are a Browns fan.
It's a bad answer, but it's logical. Makes sense.
Yeah, fair enough. So, Joe, let's talk about this team a little bit. You know, one week smoking the Bengals, and the next week getting smoked by the Patriots. Baker Mayfield, I guess, I think we should kind of talk about first. What are your thoughts on him? A lot of people don't think he deserves a contract. He's in his contract year, and the Browns have not extended him. He's the last year of his rookie deal. Where do you feel Baker Mayfield lands? Does he deserve an extension? Is he gone after this year? Your thoughts?
I think he gets an extension. I don't think it's going to be a massive extension like he was hoping for. He definitely has not proven himself to be a massive extension type of person yet. And honestly, with how they've handled his contract, not giving him the new contract last year, I think they kind of don't have that confidence in him that he's going to be the guy. But I like how he handles the team. I like how he handles the locker room, and I like how tough he is. But there's got to be some consistency. And it almost seems like the consistency that he had last year, he was just making better plays and he was being put in better situations, in my opinion, when this year they've kind of went off script more. and kind of gotten away from their bread and butter, which is the running game, to set up the passing game.
Haven't the injuries been a huge factor, though, with Chubb getting hurt? And
Chubb's been hurt.
COVID.
Hunt's been hurt.
Hunt's been hurt. Yeah.
Since week six. Chubb's been out for a few weeks, comes back, gets hurt again. And you got Dimitri Felton, who, you know, is this new guy who's supposed to, you know, be super dynamic. He goes down with Chubb with COVID. So did Kelly, our other backup running back. So we literally.
He sounds like our cornerback room.
D'Ernest. Yeah. We got D'Ernest, though, now.
We got D'Ernest. Who is the bright spot? But we don't need that bright spot when Chubb and Hunt healthy.
Right.
True.
And the OBJ situation.
Yeah.
Are you happy to see him gone?
100%. It's time to really give Peoples Jones a real good look. Peoples Jones, I think, is super dynamic. Like I've told you guys in the past, he was the number one recruit coming out of his high school class. Yeah. So, I mean, he is super dynamic. He's a great wide receiver. He just hasn't had a quarterback to really want that for him. I think our receivers are better without him. I mean, OBJ's last game, he had one catch for 6 yards. His first game with the Rams, where they got blown out, he had two catches for 18 yards. So,
yeah, but according to his really dad, he's open all there. The time. According to his dad, he's open all the time. Yeah. Baker just didn't throw it to him.
Oh, I'm sure he already sent him. I'm sure he already sent that. Yeah.
Red Dog, do you have a question for him?
Yeah, Joe, I got a question for you. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being you have to hide in your bedroom with your back to the wall with your shotgun, and 10 being you'd be willing to use your own child as a body shield to protect yourself from them, how scared are you of the Lions this weekend?
I'd say
you're talking about.
Yeah, man, that's rough.
I didn't say which one.
Somewhere around a level 1 because one, Baker Mayfield's going to play injured.
You're pretty scared. Then. I think
he's going to come out and not be too or be aggressive. But then also I heard that Jared Goff likely is not playing and you're going to be playing with some guy
we're
never
really
heard of.
Missing something with him right now. Yeah.
Jared Goff is 50-50 as of this recording.
Yeah. So. Who's your backup?
Tim Boyle.
Kid we got from the Tim Packers Boyle this year.
Never heard of her.
The Packers before Jordan. So,
the Browns are 11-point favorites in this game, Joe.
What?
Yeah, they don't.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
I don't see them covering.
Do you think the Cleveland crowd's a good home crowd? Would you say? The dog pound? Is the dog pound legit in person?
Yeah, so I have season tickets in the dog pound. Dog pound is definitely where it's at. Stadium's super loud. A lot of fun when you go down. You don't have same issues like you have here with the private lots and parking. There's parking literally everywhere around the stadium. So, you know, people are coming down there to have a good time. Some just come to tailgate and then move on. But most go to the stadium. I mean, when you're looking at parking for $20 to $40 versus $200, you're getting a little bit different of a clientele. Not your white collar crowd you're having here in Chicago per se, but a little bit more blue collar and drunk and excited, ready to win.
I will admit one thing though, Joe. I did tailgate with you one time. I had the pleasure, and it was a great tailgate, one of the best I've ever been to. You guys definitely know how to do it in Cleveland. This is the team. I just don't get this team, Joe. I mean, beginning of the season, we were looking at this team to contend. And I know there's been a few injuries and stuff, but everyone's got that. Why is this team so damn inconsistent? I just don't get it.
I think you hit the nail on the head a little bit ago when you said injuries. Injuries have been absolutely massive between running backs, offensive line, defensive line, defensive backs. I mean, we just lost another DB, Troy Hill, to a neck injury last weekend. I mean, there's been a lot of injuries, but honestly, now it's starting to seem a little bit more like it could be a coaching problem. And it's funny to say that because he won Coach of the Year last year.
But
what happened today? Who didn't practice today for the Browns? Anyone know?
Baker? I don't know. Who's the new one?
Myles Garrett on personal reasons after.
Oh, I think he just had some poetry to write, Joe. I think he just had some poetry.
Yeah. He had a practice today after he had a certain interaction with the coaching staff.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, boy.
See, but that's nothing to do with injuries. There's other issues so much, there. That's what so, I'm, you so know.
Like the Lions.
And you know who also won Coach of the Year? Matt Nagy. So, and people like him in Chicago.
What?
So.
Yeah.
What Coach of the Year. Coach of the Year, you know, speaks a lot to the top coaches in the NFL sometimes.
It speaks so much to luck and just timing and so many things coming together, I feel like, too. Like that year that Nagy won it, they got Mac, and he played like he was the best defensive player in the NFL that year. So, I mean, so many things rely on things just coming together.
Right. I don't want to drag this out too long, though, but Joe, but I did want to mention just kind of what the Lions and Brown share, and that is a lack of going to a Super Bowl in a long time. And I think in some ways, you know, I still think the Lions own the most miserable franchise, like, title. It's just funny, like, when people talk about miserable franchises, like on a podcast or on TV, you're like, wait, no, they don't mention the Lions enough. Like, we own that. We kind of own it now. But sometimes, like, other fan bases, and the Browns definitely deserve to be up there, at least as some claim, because the Lions have only won one playoff game in the Super Bowl era, but the Browns have gotten close with much more devastating results. I feel like getting close is sometimes almost worse than just never getting there, because you got so close and didn't get there. So I could see the argument in that sense, but I just want to speak to you a little bit just about, you know, do you think the Browns will ever get there in your lifetime?
Oh, God, I sure hope so. I want to say yes, but you never know. Like you said, they've been close. Technically, it was my lifetime. I was born in 86, so you got the fumble, the drive, Red Right 88, all that stuff right around when I was born.
There's something weird there.
Yeah.
Then
I think I'm part of the curse, because I literally was born 2 months after the Lions won their only playoff victory in early 92.
Yeah, well, I was born the year after they won their last championship. 57, 58.
Man, you're old, UJ.
So maybe it's my fault. I'm really old. I'm really old.
Yeah, see, you saw the heyday of the Browns, though.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Hey, Joe, I got one more question for you, though. Because to be a self-respecting fan, you have to know your team's fight song. What is it? Can you do it for us?
Any self-respecting team doesn't have a fight song.
Oh,
whoa!
Come on now,
whoa. Whoa.
Where's the fan?
No.
Isn't yours just like, isn't it called the Factory of Sadness?
Yeah. Can you recite the video?
It has been considered the Factory of Sadness.
You should create a song for him, Joe. Take charge. There are fan base.
Bernie would be a big one for the Cleveland Browns.
How does that go?
Bernie.
Is that a real
Bernie
song?
This is your wake up call.
Let's not forget what my how big my Browns fandom is, and remember what my middle daughter's middle name is.
I don't want to ever talk about how big your Browns fandom is again.
It's Kosar for listeners, but
yeah,
it is. My dog's name is Brown. My middle daughter's middle name is Kosar. That's my level of fandom. Yeah.
All right. Well, so thanks for letting the fans know just how delusional you really are. All right. Yeah. So before we have Joe try to leave the Lions, then we need one more thing out of you, Joe. And I know from watching some games with you that you like to shotgun every time the Browns. Is it every field goal or is it every touchdown? Touchdown, right?
Every touchdown.
Okay. So two questions then for you. We need a prediction out of you. Two predictions. How many shotguns are you going to do? And what is the final score of this game?
I will do 4 shotguns.
It's good. Good evening for you.
And the score will be 34-24.
Ooh, wow. High scoring. High scoring game.
We break 20. That's good.
Yeah. The Lions.
Yeah.
I mean, you're way off base, but.
But we know you're. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
I mean, you just proved your delusionality right there before.
Your backup plays for 24. Jared Goff plays.
We still
plays.
Voluntarily commit people. Is that a thing?
Say that again, Joe.
What was that, Joe?
If your backup quarterback plays, you score 24.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that's going to do it for Joe. Entering the Lions then. Thank you again, Joe, for daring to enter. You barely escaped
Joe.
Your life.
Thanks for being here.
It looks like we might see you in the future.
Oh, boy, that guy.
Another.
Man, I know he's married to my daughter. But man, that guy is so delusional. Yeah,
you gave him
your
permission.
I know. What was I thinking? I think I was drunk or something. Nuts. I don't know what it was. Man.
Maybe you just felt you could see the deep pain in his soul that we can commiserate.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe we shared our misery. Was kind of a shared
and
misery.
The loyalty. You know, there is a lot of that is a great loyalty test. If you've been a Lions fan or a Browns fan your entire life, like you probably believe in loyalty pretty strong.
Yeah, that's true. That's one thing we are loyal.
Right.
Say that.
Right.
So, gentlemen, let's get to our predictions for the game here, shall we?
All right. Yes.
So, as I mentioned in the segment and earlier here, the Lions traveling to Cleveland. It's a noon central game, 1 o'clock Eastern in Cleveland. Lions, 11-point underdogs. The over-under, 43.5. So, projected to be pretty low scoring. And the Lions project with a low scoring over-under like that and the Cleveland favored by that much. The odds makers are not expecting a line to score many points. That's what that suggests.
No.
So let's go to you, UJ. What is your prediction for this game?
Oh, boy. Well, my prediction last week partly came true when I said we were going to win the turnover battle, which we did.
And overwhelmingly,
this week, I think we're going to. Yeah. And this week, I think we're going to do it again. I really do. This defense is really starting to feel it a little bit, and they're starting to have a little swagger to them. And I think they're going to cause a couple fumbles. We'll get a couple turnovers, hopefully in good field position, and we can score. I don't know if Jared Goff's going to play or not. I'm really not worried one or the other, to be honest with you. Yeah. There's a big part of me that would like to see Boyle play.
I don't think you're alone in that opinion.
Yeah, I know. But whoever plays, I think our running game will be effective again. I think we're going to run a lot. I think... The Lions are going to pull this one out, though, but it's going to be a close one. It's going to be 21-17, I think. And we're going to, that means over 20 points, 3 touchdowns.
A few monkeys off the back, right?
And no
there.
Field goals. So, and we're going to get at least 2 turnovers from the Browns in this game. I'm not predicting who's going to do it, but I'm going to say we win the turnover battle and win 21-17.
Ooh, all right. Nice close victory. Right. We get over 20 points, too. Let's go.
I like that.
Let's go over to Rudd Dog.
All right. Yeah, this is going to be an interesting one. I mean, the Browns have been one of the best teams in the NFL this year and then also one of the worst teams in the NFL. Like they're kind of bipolar, so you don't know really what you're going to get out of them from game to game or play to play, but I think they're very susceptible to be beaten this week. And I think after our defense played like they did last week, they're going to want to keep building on that. And I think our offense is going to dig deep and find some pride. And they're going to make some things happen. I agree with UJ on the turnovers. I think we're going to have 3. And I think Tracy Walker is going to get a pick. And there'll be 2 fumbles recovered. On offense, I think we have a better chance of doing this if Boyle's in there. But even if Goff's in there, we're going to actually put up 3 passing touchdowns to shock everybody. We're going to surprise everybody. We're going to have Josh Reynolds finally this week. And Cleef Raymond's going to have a little help getting open with having someone else on the field, another receiver out there. And, 3 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns.
Whoa.
So
3 passing touchdowns.
So 35 points? What's the score?
Yeah.
At least 35.
So 40, 28, 35. Yeah, 35. 35, and the defense is going to hold the Browns to 14 points, 2 touchdowns, 35-14.
All right, there you have it. That's 2 Lions victory predictions right there.
Okay.
So this Cleveland team is truly Jekyll and Hyde, and 5-5 would suggest a 500 record. You never know what you could get out of them. They do have a really good rushing game, but I like the way the Lions rush. Well, depends on the week. The Lions rush defense either has looked really good, like against the Ravens or last week against the Steelers, or really bad against like the Bengals or the, especially the Eagles. I do think they've figured out some of those issues, though. It will be a fascinating matchup, though, that the front seven of Cleveland, which is really, really good against the Lions' defensive front seven. And vice versa, actually. But anyways, New England had a lot of success running against this Browns team last week, averaged 5.4 yards a carry, 184 yards. Mac Jones, if you didn't watch that game last week, that shows you what a good quarterback can do against a decent defense. He threw lasers all over the field. And by lasers, I mean like nice touch passes too. Just finding the right spot. And I don't know if the Lions could quite do that, so I think it's going to be a really close game. But I do have the Lions winning. I think it's going to be 21-20 with a Lions victory here. Wow. It's going to be 3 rushing touchdowns, no passing touchdowns, unless it's like a 1 yarder from the
How are they
going
to get 20? Are they going to miss a PAT?
How are they going to get 2 touchdowns, 2 field goals?
Okay.
So it'll be close. It'll be close. All but right. The Lions defense will step up because Baker Mayfield is showing a lack of, coming through in the two-minute drill. Yeah. So I think that's where we step up. But all 3 of us predict a Lions victory.
What?
Yes.
Once again. So we will be right one of these times. We swear, listeners. Yeah. We drink the Kool-Aid here, though. Maybe
we
it's a little
right
rough
last
after
week,
we
so.
Are. Yeah. We were half drinking. Yeah.
So. Hey, did you guys see that breakdown in that one play where Swift went right instead of left?
Yep.
Instead of following Penny Sewell?
Oh, my God,
like
yes.
Down if he just followed his blockers.
Oh, my God.
Goodness. He was so, yeah.
And he had such a great day. Imagine if that one, if he turned left instead of right. Ooh. Holy cow.
Right. All right, gentlemen. We'll wrap it up here. Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter at Drinking Lions. Please follow us on there. Message us. Leave a comment. Just your thoughts on the upcoming game and anything else surrounding the Lions, really. Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast, please download, please subscribe, please leave a review. We greatly appreciate it. You can also find our podcast on the front page of sidelionreport.com as well. We greatly appreciate them for hosting a podcast on there.
Great website. Oh, yeah. Great website.
Oh, and of course, Kid J, our producer. Always got
Kid J.
Kid J, baby.
So that's going to do it for us. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great weekend. And last but not least, as always,
Go
Lions! Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!